Very grateful today for salvation. Thankful for God's faithfulness to me. And I'm actually thankful for His faithfulness to you as well. I want to you to turn with us to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 9th verse. I want to write my subject on the board. Okay, it says, forgive us our debts. This is Jesus teaching his disciples in one place, I believe in the 11th chapter of Luke or somewhere in Luke, it speaks about where the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples how to pray. And then he says, he begins to tell them what to say. So I want to start here. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he's saying that if we want you to acknowledge the fact that God is the Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now I want to concentrate here today on forgiving us our debts. One of the things that we often can point our fingers at is what other people do. We can consider what their faults are. We can consider what they're doing. But this is secondary. Us considering them is secondary. So the first thing that we do is we ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to forgive me for what I'm doing. There are some things about my character that needs perfecting. There are some things about me, dear Lord, that I owe somebody. Maybe I owe them an apology. Maybe I owe them an explanation. Maybe I owe them something. But it says, forgive us our debts, and maybe our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I want us to continue, please. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So he's talking here. Well, now read the last verse. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So we're talking about debts. Now, what is a debt? Something owed, okay? So basically, it's something that you owe somebody. It could be that somebody owes you as we said early, something owed. Okay? A debt. A trespass. What's that? Trespass. Okay, a violation. Now, I want us to take into consideration that we're talking here, that we're the first thing that the Lord says as he's teaching his disciples how to pray is, I want, Lord, pray this way, after this manner I want you to pray, that Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so it puts, in one sense, us on the same plane. We oftentimes are very astute at knowing what somebody has done against us. We know how they have offended us, how they've hurt us, how they've affected us, and what they have done, but we never take into consideration that we may have affected somebody else in the same way that they've affected us. Sometimes the things that people do, not all the time, and I don't want to make this a generalization or a blanket statement, but not all the time, but sometimes the way people respond to us is because of something that we've done that has caused them, maybe it's hardened them, maybe it's the way that we responded to them in some kind of a way has affected them, and now they're giving us a cold shoulder. So we need to examine ourselves. This is one of the first things that the Lord says to us, and this is one of the first things that this passage of Scripture is talking about. Lord, I want you to look at me. I want you to examine me. I want you to forgive me of the faults, of the shortcomings, of the things that I have done that may have affected somebody else. Because when we do that, when we concentrate on us and what we have done, it makes it easier for us when we see that we are indebted, that we have debts that we owe somebody. It makes it easier for us to forgive somebody else that owes us. All right? When you have been in, let's just say, in financial trouble, and you have had things that you needed, and you couldn't make your car payment or your house payment, and you found somebody that was in need, maybe let's do it this way first. You make plenty of money. There's no issues. You never had any problems making any kind of a payment. When somebody comes to you for some of your maybe to borrow some money, it's a little harder for you to give it to them, right? A little bit. But when we've had problems and we know what it feels like to be in that kind of a place, about to get your electricity turned off, your water turned off, your car repossessed, or something because you have something that you owe somebody and you can't pay them, and you go to a friend, you go to a loved one, you go to somebody and you say, you know what, I'm struggling here. Can you help me? And there is this understanding that the other person has because I've been in that same kind of a place. And when I remember, the floods of memory come back, and I remember how I felt when these kinds of things were happening to me, there is more of a likelihood for us to reach down in the depths of our pockets and pull, I can't give it all to you, but here's $20, here's $100, here's whatever I can give to you to help ease what you're going through. We do that because we feel for them, because we realize I've been in that kind of a place before. And I know what you're going through, and I know the difficulty of what you're dealing with. So therefore, I identify and empathize. Thank you, that's the word. I empathize with you because I have been in debt as well. Now we take that into a spiritual context, and to a context in which there's relationships, in which there are marriages, there are somebody that is coming together, and this person owes me something, and they're not able to pay. And we make demands on them, you pay me or else I'm going to do this. Well, we can't do that, can we? Lord, help us. Because we're less likely to do that when we realize that there is something about me. So we're going to put this as forgive us, forgive me, my debts, my debt as I forgive others that are indebted against me. So when we are able to empathize and we're able to understand that I've got situations and I'm maybe indebted into somebody and I just don't have what it takes. Sometimes we just don't have what it takes in order to get what we're, to give what we're needing to give. Do you know it takes the Lord for us to be able to get, spiritually speaking, rid of our debts? Lord, help us. All right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. So what does that mean in the context of all this? That you know what's often happens is when somebody is indebted to us, we often have temptations to be very critical. Well, they do such and such. And before we know it, when we're looking at all how critical we've become regarding this thing, we start to do what? Share it with others. And we complain. Well, they shouldn't do this. No, maybe they shouldn't. But we don't want to be led into the temptation of this, because you realize that that's what the enemy wants to do, is lead you away from getting the grace of God to be able to help you through these kinds of places. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So we see that this is not just an option that we have. It's not just something that is, oh, we can do it if we want to and we can do it if we not. No, if we don't want to. Here's the point. If we want the Lord to bless us and His grace and blessing to be up on our lives, then we have to say, Lord, I'm willing to forgive all that somebody's done against me. And I have to forgive them even if they don't come to me and ask me to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them anyway, because I heard somebody say one time, forgiveness is it's a gift you give to yourself. I don't have to hold on to this. I don't have to embrace this and have these bad feelings about other people because of what they've done. I can release it and I can give it to the Lord. And when I give it to the Lord, guess what? I understand that the Lord releases what He's holding against us. And if we don't do that, if you refuse to forgive someone else their trespasses, what they've done, they violated you in some kind of a way. Yes, they have. And I don't believe there's anybody here that has not been violated in some kind of a way from somebody that you love, from somebody that you don't like that much, or from somebody that you don't know, or somebody that you do know. There has been violation, trespasses, that they have gone in areas that they shouldn't have gone. You know how we say sometimes, don't go there. We want to stop them. Don't even go there. And why do we say that? We say that because you're about to get me riled up. You're about to go in an area that you have at this point no right to go into. And then what happens when they decide, oh yeah, I'm going to go there because you need somebody to go there. And you begin to talk with them, it gets out of hand. We've probably all been in those kind of places that we've had to go back, and now because of what you went there, and then I just went there to meet you, and when I met you there, we both got out of sorts. And now what I owe you is an apology. Lord, have mercy on me, and I'm going to forgive you, and Lord, help me never to be in that place again, that when somebody comes to me and they go there, then I just turn around and I go somewhere else. I go find me a place to pray. Do you know I have had to do that on many occasions? I'm just a human. I'm not going to try to be Superman here, super spiritual man. But let me tell you, what I've learned in my experience is that God is always right there. He's concerned about me. And what happens is, let me tell you, when we are trying to point out somebody else's fault, have you ever been close to somebody? Husband, wives, brothers, sisters. You're close to somebody and you get into an argument. Oh, Brother Darrell, saints don't get into arguments. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Now, let me tell you, there is this exalted place that the Lord's trying to get us all to. And we don't have to stay there. And there are times that the Lord taps on our shoulder and you're about to get in some kind of heated argument because what you're looking at is their debt. So they didn't say, forgive them their debts. It didn't say that. It says, forgive me mine. Forgive us ours. Me and you, we're in this situation. Now, what needs to happen is we need to set this thing down and realize, okay, now we're having this, we've gone to this place, and we see that there is a place that we can't get past. Now, what I need to do is we both need to stop in this relationship, and we need to consider our debts. I consider mine, you consider yours, my violations that I've done against you. Maybe I said something, maybe this person, well, I'll put it in third person. Maybe this person has said something that they shouldn't have said. Maybe they spoke a little too quick. Maybe they did something that they shouldn't have done. Or maybe they didn't do something that they should have done. Or didn't say something that they should have said. It could go any way. But here is the point. I've got to forgive them or else God won't forgive me. That's important. And I have to understand, Lord, and when these places in my character about me that I want you to work with and I want you to perfect, and I want, you're sending the word of God, you're sending trials, you're sending testings, you're sending these things my way so that you can perfect me and make me more like you. I need to understand that. I need to understand that that person didn't say this to me to get me riled up and angry. They said it so that all that was down inside that I was hiding, that nobody knew about it, it could boil up to the surface and I could deal with it. The Lord wants you to deal with your issues. You have them. You can't just point your finger at your brother and say all the problems that he has. Yes, he has problems. Let me tell you, we can sit down and we can have a good session about all the problems that your brother has. And every one of them would probably be true. And then one of us could go over on the other side and we could talk to that same brother about all the problems that you have. And all the violations that you committed. Well, they did such and such, and they're doing such and such. And so who wins? No, forgive us our debts. Lord, forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me the violations that I've committed against this. Now when I look at it and I really sit down, there are no goody two-shoes. There are no people that are just perfect. And nothing, you know, you might see that. The Lord wants to perfect all of us. And I'm not preaching this, sin you must, sin you can't help it, so you might as well just kind of relax and do whatever. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Lord, help us. Yes. Yes. Now, you, if anybody was sanctified, they were. They had a contention, a disagreement. And you know what? There may be times that we have them, but saints, we've got to do it right. Lord, help us. We've got to find, we got to understand that there is a way to do it. There's a way to disagree without being disagreeable. Nobody likes disagreeable people. Lord, help us. All right? I want to read this Amplified version here. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven, left remitted, and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Because somebody owes me something and they don't give it, then I can resent them for it, and I can hold, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing to you, but I'm not going to tell you about this, but I don't have to say nothing to you. Have you ever done that? Lord, help us. You ever been tempted to do that? All right. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. When they do something, just let it go. Lord, help us to do that. Just help us to be able to let it go. Do you know what I've learned, and I'm still learning it? That anger is a choice. The initial impact when somebody has violated you or trespassed against you, there is an initial impact and there's the initial emotion that you have, or this indignation that rises up in you and you want to defend yourself. There is that initial thing that you have to deal with. But from that point, it splits, and there is a split second that the Lord gives us to make the decision and the determination whether or not to be angry. Lord, help us. And when you're saint of God, you can find somewhere to pray and you can ask the Lord, Lord, take it away from me. Maybe I have this disposition. Maybe I'm easily offended. And maybe it hurts so bad what she is doing, what he is doing. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I want you to help me and give me what I need to be able to get over it. Yes. It's not easy. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not always what it looks like to be. I can say, I forgive you and never do it. I can say it with my lips without ever reaching my heart. And we've all probably been there. A good majority of us have been there where we've asked for forgiveness with our lips, but it didn't reach very far. I'm still dealing with something that's down here, maybe a root of bitterness, maybe something that has gone way deep, and it's just, you know what happens? Well, it's the roots start growing before it ever pops up from the top. And so sometimes after it pops up from the top, you've got this long root system that has gone under the surface and gone. It can go undetected for years. And we can let a root of bitterness and resentment against something that somebody has done against me that they had no right to do, and that is defiling us, and I'm not where I should be spiritually. We're not where we should be spiritually because of what somebody has done, and no, not because of what they've done. Because of what I've let happen. I've let that root grow deep, deep. I watered it by thinking about it. I've watered it by rolling over in my mind and feeling bad about what they still are doing. And it's been 2 years and they haven't come and said a word to me. They didn't forget about it. They may not even have known that they have offended you. This is why you're to forgive them without them ever coming and asking you to forgive. Lord, help us. Yes. Yes. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So he says you can be angry. The Lord was angry in many places. Jesus went and whipped him out of the temple. You suppose he was just you suppose he was doing that? You move on. You take these birds and you take this. You get, no. Lord, help us. Be angry and sin not. You can go too far. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any place. You know what I say? And we've in our marriage relationship, if there's a disagreement, we don't let the sun go down on it. We talk about it. It might be real quiet for the rest of the night. Somebody just asked for forgiveness. And said, we're not going to let this happen. Why? Because the scripture says, owe no man anything but what? A love. And is that an option? Is loving your brother an option? No, it's commandment. He gives us the command that ye love one another. Lord, help us to be able to love each other like we're supposed to. And let me tell you, if I cannot forgive my brother his trespasses and his debts, there is something lacking in my love for the Lord and my love for my brother. And what does he say? He says, what is the greatest commandment? That you love the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. We don't try to justify someone, well, who's my neighbor? Somebody that treats me right, and the Lord gives him the Good Samaritan. May not be even somebody that you know, but saints, we're talking about people that we know. Most of us don't have as much of a problem with people out in the world as we do with folks in our family. Folks in the church. Folks in our neighborhood. And we can just write them up. Lord, help us. All of us, lead us not into temptation. It hurts when somebody rejects us. It hurts when somebody does something against us. But let me tell you, what I have to do, what you have to do, Lord, help me as I preach to you, I preach to myself. I've got to find a place. I've got to reach down. I've got to say, Lord, help me to forgive that person for what they've done. Why is it so important? Because I'm determined to go to heaven. I'm determined. And the only way for that to happen is that I need God's forgiveness. And if I don't give forgiveness to my brother that is indebted to me, God won't give me forgiveness. There is something that blocks his ability to forgive. Or really, for his ability for us to experience his forgiveness. I'm reminded of the man who couldn't pay his debt. And his boss forgave him. And then somebody owed him. He had a big amount that he owed the boss. They had a little bit that they owed him. He come grab him by the neck and say, you pay me all or else I'm going to throw you in prison. And you know what? After the boss heard about that, what did he do? I'm not going to forgive you either. You didn't forgive them. I'm not forgiving you. That's the way the Lord is. Lord, help us. It's a type of that. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to James 1, 22. Someone else get James 5 and 16. James 1 and 22.
Be ye doers of the word.
Not hearers only. Deceiving your own self. Now, if it says forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, I better do that. I better be willing to forgive. I better be willing to do whatever it is that the Lord has shown me that I must do. Lord, help us. Read.
If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer,
he is like a man that beholds his natural face in the glass. He looks at himself. Then he leaves, and he forgets what manner of man that he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Okay, so it says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Don't just listen to it, and it sounds good, but do it. Put it to action. If you don't do that, then you're deceiving yourself. There are so many people that I listen to from time to time, and they're saying, you know what, I'm a good person. I don't do bad things, but I'm not saved. That means you've listened to the word, and you haven't done it. And you haven't asked the Lord, you haven't accepted the Lord's forgiveness in your life. And no, maybe you're not a bad person as far as the world is concerned, but how do you look as far as God is concerned? Lord, help us. It's not me. I don't have the keys to heaven. I'm not going to be standing as the doorman to the gates of heaven. But let me tell you, I don't want anyone
not to make it. I want everybody to make it to heaven. I was telling, you know what, it'd probably be me. It's a good thing that I am not the doorkeeper, because I'd probably let just about, when I think about hell, I'd let everybody in heaven. But the Lord is not me, and I don't have the key, and I'm not going to be there. Saints, let us do what we've got to do to make it. Let us do what we have to do to make it, all right? Now, let's see. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. So, for he that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man beholding himself in the natural, beholding his natural face in a glass. So you're looking in a mirror. And so I believe what this passage of Scripture is talking about to us today is you stop looking at the other person and you start looking at yourself. You start looking in the mirror. Because what's happening is you're forgetting those that have debts, but you're forgetting the fact that you're indebted as well. And so when you are having difficulty forgiving somebody for what they did, be honest with yourself and look at yourself in the spiritual mirror. And you ask the Lord, Lord, shine your light on it. You know what something about it? You can look in a mirror, but if it's in a dark room, it's not going to do any good. When you ask the Lord, Lord, shine your light on me. Show me myself. And when the Lord shows us ourselves, it is much easier for us when we honestly take a good assessment of who we are, where our shortcomings are, where our trespasses have been over the years. And when we take a good look at that and we're honest with ourselves about it, let me tell you what I'm finding in our generation. There's a lot of dishonest people, but they'll never say that they're dishonest. They'll find a way to justify every little bitty thing that they're doing. Yeah, I know I'm this, but at least I'm not doing what they're doing. So what? You're doing enough. And so what happens is I got to look at myself. I'm the problem. And when I come to that kind of a conclusion, well, Brother Darrell, that's not really true. I'm really not the problem in this. Oh, yes, you are. You're part of it. There's something that the Lord is trying to get over to you. One of the things that the Lord does for his people is the Lord says to his people, I want you to be more like me. How does he do that? How do you refine gold? There's only one way. There's only one way to do it that I'm aware of. You put some fire under it and you take it out of its solid state. Some of us are so rigid in the way that we do it, in the way that we see it, and the Lord has to bring fire up under us to bring us to another state to where all of these impurities and these trespasses and violations and debts and all of the resentment and all the things that we may be holding on to and justifying, the Lord puts it under the pot and he puts it on the fire and he turns the fire up. And before we know it, we see the dross coming up to the top. That's why you go through the trials. That's why the Lord is sending it. And let me say this when we go into the trials. Why does he go through the trials? He's testing us. He sends us through the fire. He tests us because he wants to use us in his service. It's not just for fun. But he's making us more perfect. And what we want, we don't want gold mixed with impurities, do we? It's not as strong. Anything mixed with something impure is not strong. But the Lord wants to use you in his service. And so what he does, he wants you to look at yourself and he wants you to come to the conclusion, Lord, does this look like you? Is this the way that I responded there? Is that the way you would have responded? Sometimes we find out it's not. Let me say, it is not just that as saints we are, as a Christian, you are pious in this quiet mock kind of piety. Sometimes we can speak our mind. Paul did. See, I told you not to do that. We can say those things, but we can say it in the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need. Without violating somebody's conscience, without violating their, violating them in any way. All right, let's go to the next scripture. Let's go to James 5:16. Confess. Wait. Whose faults? No, let's talk about them. Let's get on the phone. Let's talk about them. This is what's up. Oh, it's the one so-and-so did. Confess whose fault? What we're doing is confessing their faults. Well, what about ours? Lord, help us. Forgive us our debts. Mine. Don't forgive them theirs. I mean, Lord, that's between you and them. Have mercy on them. We pray for that. But Lord, I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one standing in the need that I need you to do something for me. And so, forgive me mine. All right? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, some of the things that people, some of the faults that people have are because of maybe the way they were raised. Maybe their environment. Maybe the way that their mother was or their father was or their family history is. A lot of people, children, are like little sponges. They'll pick up whatever it is that they're around. They'll respond like the adults that are around them. If an adult responds harshly, that's what that child will grow up doing. If a little boy has never had a father figure like he needed, then he may not know how to be a father. Or if he had a harsh father, but maybe something from the old school that they never smiled, never told him that he loved him, never showed affection to him, and just required certain things of him. Do you know that little boy is going to have some faults when he grows up and he becomes a man and he looks for a wife to marry? And he's going to have some fault. Maybe that woman has never been taught how to be a true woman or a mother, how to be a housemaker or what. And that's going to be some fault. And it's going to get on your nerves because she don't cook biscuits like mama cooked them. Well, she's not supposed to cook them like mama cooked them. Well, mama never let the house look like this or do this. And everything was washed and folded. Well, she didn't get that taught. So there are some things about her that you're going to have to forgive her for. And you're going to confess her faults, and what are you going to do? It says, pray one for another that you may be healed. They are sick. They have a sickness about them that really, if you really look at it, is not so much, I'm going to put this in quotations, their fault. But when they come to an age of an accountability and they come to the understanding that there is this thing about me that God wants to change, it's their responsibility to start working on that. And if you're in their close proximity, it is your responsibility to be long-suffering. This is why it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering. You suffer for a long time. It's one of the fruits. I have to put up with this. Lord, teach me to do it and give me a willingness to do it. All right. You suffer as long as there is anything to suffer. All right. We refer to one scripture, a couple of scriptures. We'll just go on. John 15, 17, and Matthew 5 and 44. I want you to get a hold of those. Yes. These things I commend you, love one another. It's not an option. It's a commandment. Matthew 5:44. I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. So your brother is not your enemy. Well, sometimes they become your enemy, don't they? Lord, help us. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, this is easy to do, isn't it? Oh, they cursing me? Do good to them. Hey, man. Bless them. Lord, help us. Read. Okay, now let's just see what this just said. Do you hear what it just said here? But I say unto you, well, the 43rd verse says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That seems, from the standpoint of our generation, kind of logical. But I say unto you, he says, this is not what he says. He said, this is Jesus speaking. I say unto you, love your enemies That means somebody that is going directly against you. Bless them that curse you. Somebody curse you and you're going to bless them. Lord, help. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that we don't like is to be used. Despitefully used on top of that. And persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But ye, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So this is perfection, that you love these people. You love your enemies. You pray, you bless those that curse you. Now, saints, that is not, that's, you can't do that in your own power. You can't do it. It takes more than what we have on hand ourselves. It takes the power of God. And so if you want to be perfected in these things that the Lord is allowing, all these problems and these trials, when we go through trials, sometimes we say, you know what, Lord, I know you have a reason and a purpose for us going through these trials. And I don't completely know, but I know that you're working something in me. It's not that other person. It's not that other person that you're trying to get something over to. Maybe that's in a whole different realm. That's not what my concern is. My concern is, what are you trying to get over to me? And do you know what I've learned in all of this? It's the Lord tries to perfect us. This is why it says, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Lord tries to bring about a perfect image of his Son in us. And the only way for him to do that is for him to allow these pressures of life and these reverses, and then for us to see our responses and our reactions and our violations and our trespasses. And then he says, all right, I want to deal with that, and I want you to allow me to deal with it. And as you allow me to deal with it, I'll perfect you and make you look like me. But if we don't let him do it, he can't do it. He can't do it. He can't bring about that perfection unless we submit to his dealings. Lord, help us to be able to do that. And saints, let me tell you, you need the power of God. I want to read another scripture. Let's read, and I'm going to try to bring this in this pretty quickly. Some people, let's go to Luke 23, 34. Someone get me Acts 7 and 58. Luke 23, 34. I just want to speak to this before we. Yes. Yes. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. I want to say this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was Jesus as they were crucifying him. Do you know what? In order for Jesus to forgive our sins, you know what really had to happen? He had to die. And in order for us to forgive our brother, you know what we have to do? We have to die. So he said, you know, sometimes people do things to us and they don't even know how it affects us. They don't know the depth of what they're doing. They think that it's just a surface thing, and it's something that goes much deeper. And so Jesus, in the act of them violating him, trespassing against him, coming against him, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't really understand the depths of what they're doing. They're ignorant. And so sometimes we have to forgive our brother, we have to forgive him for the simple fact that they don't clearly understand what they did. All right, let's go to Stephen. Acts 7, 58. Cast him out of the city. They stoned him. Witnesses laid down their clothes. His name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, cry with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now this is in the act of somebody killing you, stoning you, taking a big rock and just throwing it as hard as they can, trying to kill you. And you're saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That took something for Stephen to do that. And I believe the Lord wants you and I to understand that it's going to take something for us to do it as well. Now, which one would have been better? Stephen saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, have mercy on them. And calling on the name of the Lord, or picking up a rock and throwing it back at them. You're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Which one? Which one would have given us more, given God more glory and would have been a testimony for us? Stephen, they were throwing the rocks at Stephen. Stephen was picking up the rocks and throwing them back at them. Wouldn't have worked like that, is it? It wouldn't have been a glorious death of Stephen as he's hollering at him and calling, y'all don't even know what y'all talking about. And y'all, all of these things that he could have done, this is what the carnal man is doing. This man was an example to us. Now, what is it telling us? If he can forgive them what they violated against him, we can too. In the middle of them doing it. Lord, help me. Lord, help you. Lord, help all of us. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All right. I'm going to read Matthew 9 and 6 for closing. Have it read it for us. That ye may know
that the Son of Man
hath power on earth to forgive sins.
Send
he to the sick of the palsy, rise.
Take up thy bed and go into thy house.
Now this is talking about Lord Jesus telling this man was sick, and he said, instead of saying, you be healed, he said, rise, take up thy bed, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. And the folks, Pharisees decided that they were going to call him on that. Well, who do you think you are? You don't have power to forgive. You can't forgive. Here's the point that I want to make in this little exhortation today. It takes the power of God to forgive. I can't do it in and of myself. And one place it says, forgive us our sins as we forget those that sin against us, trespass against us. And what that means is that our shortcomings, our missing the mark. And so what I want to say to us, it takes the power of God to be able to forgive sins. It takes the power of God for us to be able to forgive our enemy, our brother, those that are closest to us, sometimes even forgiving God. You understand what I'm saying? Some folks are upset at God for what God allowed to happen in their life. Lord, help us. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Pray for me.